Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Dachepalli Publishers Limited Q4 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Equiprojects Advisors Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during this conference, please signal for an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference call is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Channi from Equiprojects Advisors Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Farah. A very good afternoon to everyone. Welcome to the Q4 and FY26 earnings call of Dachepalli Publishers Limited. From management team, we have with us Mr. Harish Dachepalli and Mr. Abhinav Dachepalli, Executive Directors. The call will begin with opening remarks from the management, after which we will open the floor for Q&A. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Harish, sir, for his opening remarks. Thank you, sir, and over to you.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us for Dachepalli Publishers Limited Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call. I'm Harish Dachepalli, Executive Director of Dachepalli Publishers, and on behalf of the entire Dachepalli team, I would like to welcome all our investors, analysts, and stakeholders. FY26 has been an important year for Dachepalli Publishers. It marks not only a year of strong financial performance but also a year where we laid the foundation for the next phase of scalable and sustainable growth. As a recently listed company, our focus remains on disciplined execution, strengthening institutional relationships, improving operational efficiencies, and building a long-term educational ecosystem rather than operating as a traditional publishing house. Let me begin with the financial performance for the quarter and the full year. During Q4 FY26, the company reported total income of around 35.85 crores as against 18.50 crores in Q4 FY25, registering a strong year-on-year growth of 93.8%. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 5.79 crores, reflecting a growth of 110.5%, while EBITDA margins improved to 128 basis points to 16.2%. Profit after tax stood at 5.16 crores against 2.23 crores in Q4 25, registering a strong growth of 122.5% year-on-year. PAT margins improved to 14.4% compared to 12.5% in the same period last year. Coming to the full year performance, total income of FY26 stood at 91.39 crores, with a growth of 42.2% year-on-year. EBITDA increased significantly to 23.52 crores from 13.18 crores in FY25, reflecting a growth of 78.6%. EBITDA margins expanded by 524 basis points to 25.7%. Profit after tax for FY26 at 15.20 crores, registering a strong growth of 81.8% year-on-year. PAT margins improved by 362 basis points to 16.6%. Operationally as well, FY26 was a year of strong performance. Our printing capacity currently stands at approximately 15 tons per day, with capacity utilization improving to nearly 75% during the year compared to nearly 40% earlier. Around 85% of the production is now managed in-house, enabling better control over quality, turnaround time, and margins. During the year, we also expanded our geographical presence across 15 states. The education sector in India continues to remain structurally strong, especially across Tier 2 and Tier 3 markets, where institutional demand, curriculum expansion, and increasing focus on quality education content continue to drive growth. Over the years, Dachepalli has built a deep relationship with schools, educators, and distribution partners. Today, we are increasingly evolving from a textbook-focused company into an integrated academic solution platform. One of the key strategic developments during the year has been our focus on backward integration. We acquired Advanced Notebook Manufacturing Machinery, enabling us to gradually transition from trading notebooks to in-house manufacturing. This gives us better quality control, stronger supply chain reliability, improved customization capabilities, and enhanced margin efficiency over the long term. We also continue expanding our product portfolio and institutional engagement during the year. Our NCERT-aligned workbooks for classes 6 to 8 have received encouraging response, and we are preparing for expansion into higher classes in the coming academic cycle. In addition, our financial literacy curriculum initiative under the new education policy, the Money Tree, has seen strong adoption across CBSE, ICSE, and state board schools. Another important milestone has been our increasing integration with schools through curriculum partnerships. Today, we are associated with more than 60 schools through our deeper integration models, where we support not only textbook but also teacher training programs, implementation support, and academic planning. This creates stronger institutional stickiness and improves long-term visibility of business. On the technology side, we are continuing to strengthen our digital capabilities through platforms like Pelican Edu Supply, where we are building a strong school-linked e-commerce ecosystem to improve parent engagement and streamline academic supply delivery. Over time, we believe this can evolve into scalable, recurring platform-led business model with strong direct-to-customer engagement. This year, we successfully closed around 50 schools with an average turnover of 25 crores from this e-commerce model. And for the coming year, we are onboarding around 100 to 150 schools. And we are also including uniform in this portal. Right now, we did a pilot project of 3 schools through uniform, and we understood the challenges in this. So we now form the strategy to scale this business with a robust system of execution for timely delivery. Geographic expansion also remained a great focus on area FY26. We strengthened our presence across multiple states, including Uttar Pradesh, Rajasthan, Gujarat, and Assam, while continuing to deepen our distribution and institutional network across the existing market. Our objective remains clear: to build a wider pan-India academic ecosystem with scalable distribution and localized institutional relationships. Looking ahead, our priority remains focused on 4 key areas. First, expanding deeper into institutional academic partnerships across schools and education networks. Second, increasing backward integration and manufacturing capabilities to improve margin and operational cost control. Third, strengthening our technology and digital ecosystem through school-linked platforms, scalable academic solutions, learning management system platforms. And fourth, expanding our geographical reach while maintaining financial discipline and operational efficiency. Before I conclude, I would like to sincerely thank all our shareholders, investors, employees, authors, distribution partners, and school institutions for their continued trust and support in our journey. With that, we now open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star followed by 1 on their touchtone telephones. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may enter star and 2. Participants are requested to please use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Yash from Shan Patel Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations on good set of numbers, sir. Actually, I was looking on our EBITDA margins, and there is a decline in that. So what is the particular reasons for the decrease in margin?
There is no decline in our EBITDA margin, sir. EBITDA margin is increased.
In percentage terms, sir. So last year, like I was comparing Q on Q, it was 22%. And currently in Q4 FY26, it comes around 16%. So I was like looking on that issue. In absolute terms, it has increased, but in percentage level, like what is the sustainable EBITDA level we can look upon, basically? I wanted to know that.
No, actually, we were scaling up the business also, so some additional expenditures will kick in the year one because of setting up of offices and some capex investment here and there. But going forward, that will get divided into the number of years, and automatically the EBITDA margins will grow going forward. Percentage of EBITDA.
So, can you tell me what is the sustainable level of EBITDA we can look upon for FY27?
It should be around, PAT will be around 16 to 17% of PAT. So on that basis, you calculate the EBITDA.
Okay.
Yeah. So usually we calculate here on the PAT basis. So PAT will be 16 to 17%.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, actually I'm new to the company. So if you could please explain us what exactly is our business model? What exactly do we do? Are we just printing the course textbooks as determined by the state or CBSE and ICSE, or we have our own curriculum, and is it in addition to the curriculum prescribed by the government, If you could explain all these things.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. The way this publishing industry works in India is, across various boards, that is CBSE, ICSE and state boards, they give a certain guideline saying that in which class what topics should be taught. Publishers like us take those topics. We have our in-house editorial where we create content around that particular topic and we make the curriculum. Our curriculum is again marketed in schools, where schools get to prescribe this curriculum, which they check if they are aligned with the points given by the CBSE or state board, and if they are convinced, they purchase this particular product and sell it to the parents. And this is the basic funda of the business. Now, what Dachapalli does is we make school textbooks for all the three boards, that is CBSE, ICSE, state board, which is our traditional business, and we've been continuously doing it for the last 50 years. After that, when me and my brother joined into this business, we've introduced EdTech platform and we started providing technology for free for all the textbooks we provide to schools. Then for that, we have to create our own tech team. This tech team also enabled us to build a complete e-commerce platform for schools where we create a school-generated link to parents. Parents purchase not just textbooks, but also notebooks, stationery and uniform through that portal. So last year we did a pilot project on the e-commerce model of around 50 schools and we could raise a turnover of around 25 crore from the e-commerce model. Going here, we are going to scale up the e-commerce model to around 150 schools. And about textbook supply, we are currently supplying textbooks to schools across three different boards, that is CBSE, ICSE and state board, to around 10,000 schools in 15 states in India. This is the business.
Okay, so basically is our e-commerce portal profitable?
Yes sir, our e-commerce portal is profitable because now we are not just selling only the textbooks, we are also purchasing stationery items and selling it to schools. There's a margin there. Until last year, for all the 50 schools, we also purchased notebooks and sold to schools. Of course, we made some decent margin in that. Now we understood that we can manufacture our own notebooks. We purchased the machines to manufacture our notebooks, not just these e-commerce schools, also where we have good ties with our existing customers who are buying only textbooks, we'll be pushing notebooks there also. So compared to purchasing and selling, when you manufacture it, your profit percentages also increase.
Sir, so normally since in India, for-profit education is not allowed, the business model is that the trust runs the school and the promoters basically supply textbooks, uniforms and etc. at a jacked up price. So that is the model and they make the profit in the supplying companies which is supplying your notebook, stationery, uniform, etc. So basically then why would schools buy from us?
Why shouldn't schools? Because the government is not supplying any textbooks or stationery or notebooks to schools. Schools are not supposed to make profits, but publishers like us, we can sell our profit products and make some profit, no sir. If somebody is supplying a school bus to a school, the bus manufacturing company will make profit. Whether school wants to charge school bus fees or not, it is the school's responsibility. So likewise it is made. For example, a private school in India is running from the fees collected for parents. Likewise, they are also taking money for bus transportation or books or notebooks or stationery. I am one of the provider for these products. I am not running the school.
Understood. So our competitors would be people like Navneet Education, S-Chan, yes, and Chetna Education?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so how is our business different from all these people?
So Navneet is not just into school education, sir. He is into higher education, college books, engineering textbooks. S-Chan also does the same thing. And Chetna is only into school education where they are supplying school textbooks to schools. Like we are doing to around 10,000 schools, Chetna also must be doing to whatever number of business they have. But in our company, we are not just supplying textbooks. We also manufacture these textbooks. So we have in-house production, printing and capacity. Then we also have technology support where we do e-commerce and we supply these products to parents like home delivery, like how Amazon or Flipkart does. Second, and then EdTech vertical, a complete education technology where before COVID, companies like many giant EdTech companies tried to sell this technology to schools. What we did is, we increased the MRP of the books by another 5 or 10 rupees and started giving the technology for free. So once we announced the free technology, all EdTech companies went out of business and more textbook adoption started coming into schools.
and our EdTech vertical is profitable?
When we are giving it for complementary, whatever cost we are recovering to create that particular technology, we are recovering it from selling our textbooks.
Understood, sir. And sir, why do we have six different brands for the same thing, Apple Publishing or Ring Publishing? So why can't we have a single brand?
So what happens, sir, when you go to any school in India, they don't prescribe textbooks from one publication for all the subjects in their school. They prefer, say, buying, for mathematics to one publishing house, science to another publishing house. So here we've made it as a strategy, marketing strategy, saying that, some products will take out in one brand, some products will take out as brand one. So usually when somebody like Navneet or Chetna, which you have given example of, they go to a school, Navneet usually gets one title. But when my product go to schools, I get two to three titles entry inside the school. Because they look, for the school point of view, they look like three different publishing companies, but actually it is only one.
Sir, so if I am running a school, then whether I will determine which publisher's course I should prescribe, whether Navneet or Chetna or our company. So how, on what basis will I take that decision? I mean, is it the pricing or is it something else?
Yes, sir. Pricing is one thing. Quality of the product is one thing. The kind of content, because usually before a books get selected, schools take 1 month, they go through the content, and then they decide whether this particular content is good for the kind of strength coming to that school. Even textbooks are of different standards. CBSE has little higher standard, ICSE are a lot more higher standard, and state board schools are little easy. So now your school, which vicinity your school is in, what kind of population stay around it, what is the economic background of that parent? So for example, there's a maths textbook in my company where we sell it for 150 rupees also. There's another maths textbook in my company which price is 250 rupees. But the standard inside the book, the content inside the book is higher compared to both the books. So now which area your school is in, what is the background of the parent your school is, what kind of fees you are collecting, depending on that, you should select the book also.
Understood, sir. Sir, so for FY27, what kind of top line are we looking at?
So right now we are at a trajectory of 150 crores plus business is what we are looking at.
And what operating margins, EBITDA margins?
We calculate in PAT. We are estimating a PAT of around 25 crores.
25 crore.
Yes.
Okay. Sir, can you tell us something about this Pelican, this platform that we have?
Yes, sir. Pelican EduSupply is our e-commerce platform where once we tied up with all these schools, we noticed that, many schools are facing a lot of problem to procure all the material and sell it to parents because parents are coming at their leisure to the school to purchase the product or to the nearby store to purchase the product. So for the whole, till complete strength of the school purchases the product, the school has to run that counter for the parents. So when we understood that this challenge is very difficult for the teachers to continuously come in summer holidays and sell this product, we created a technology integrated link that for every school, we generate a link. That link has all the textbooks the school has prescribed, let it be my company or some other company's books also. Along with that, the notebook stationery also, we give them an option whether they can buy it. Instead of going to three different stores and buying three different products, parents at their leisure can select all the items, their shipping address they have to enter, they have to make the payment. In our back-end warehouse, we collect all the products because since the list of the books prescribed in the school, parents, schools already give us in advance before creating that link. We purchase all the material, keep it ready. Parents at their leisure, they make the payment. And then the box will get the home delivered depending on the number of kilometers from the warehouse, whether it is 2 days or 3 days or 1 week.
So just to reconfirm, there is no cash burn happening in this Pelican, this thing? It's making money?
No, sir. There is no cash burn happening because the technology was developed in-house. It was not bought from any software company. We developed in-house and we did pilot projects in last 2 years trying to understand how we can make this profitable. And advantage of it is, out of the textbooks, we make it mandatory for the school that, to use this platform, 50% of the textbooks should be purchased from our company. Other 50%, we let the school have their own choice. And about for notebooks and stationery, we are also making margin there, where previously that we were never into that business. Now we got into that business and we are also getting margin in that particular products. And shipping charges, parents pay shipping charges separately, so there is nothing for us to make any money in shipping charges.
Sir, so I think recently
I'm sorry to
government came
interrupt,
out with
Mr. Rathi. Could you please return to the question queue?
Sure.
We have many participants waiting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Participants, if you have any questions, you may enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Gunit Singh from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. So firstly, can you help me understand the bridge between 64 crore revenues last year to 90 crore this year? So what are the, I mean, what is the additional delta of about 25 crore which accrued this year, which wasn't last year?
In the 63 crore turnover last year, only 3 crore came from e-commerce and 60 crore came from textbook selling across 10 states and business. Now, this year, in the 10 states, we have from 1% market share to we penetrated to 2% market share because we've increased the number of staff here. And we also started business in four new states, that is Rajasthan, Gujarat, Uttar Pradesh, and Assam. So the revenues kicked in from there as well. And for the e-commerce platform, from three schools, this year we scaled up to 50 schools. Looking at the infrastructure and the kind of supply we can do, we've taken onboarded only 50 schools. From these 50 schools, we generated a revenue of around 20 crore.
Got it. So basically, e-commerce is just instead of selling directly inside the schools, you're selling from the e-commerce platform, right?
Yes.
That would be the similar textbooks that we sell in the schools.
It's the choice of the school for which textbook they use. We just hold that inside our e-commerce site and then we sell it.
Got it. And that would have our textbook as well as our competitors or any other textbooks which we sell through our partners?
Yes. So because we are giving this service to the schools, we are reducing the load on them. We are usually requesting them to give 50% of the textbooks to our company, and 50% is their choice. It's not a hard and fast rule or a condition, but we keep it on a friendly basis. And schools, all the 50 schools have agreed to. In the 50 schools, 20 schools have made 100% of our textbooks only. And 30 schools, we have 50%-60% of our product and 40% some other publisher's textbook, which we purchase from the market and add it into the kit.
Got it. So basically, that 40%-50% of other textbooks we were not selling earlier, which we are selling through the e-commerce, we are able to sell through the e-commerce platform.
Yes. And we have a certain, obviously, since the product is non-manufactured by us, we have a little lesser margin than our own product, but there is high margin in that. But in this site, the kit, the box which you prepare for the parents also buy notebooks and stationery, which is mandatory. So we make margins in notebooks and stationery as well. With this particular business also was not there before for our company.
Got it. So can you help me understand what are the revenues from this notebook and stationery in FY26, which were not there, and how much revenues came from selling competitor or other brand textbooks which were not there in FY25?
So yeah, we don't have an exact calculation, but we'll share it shortly.
Got it.
Overall turnover, which we raised of 90 crore, 91.39, which included everything from textbooks to stationery to notebooks and also other publishers' textbooks. It's a mix of everything. But the percentage.
You don't have a contribution from notebooks to total revenue, stationery notebooks, and their.
We have, but let's say we did 60 crore of turnover of our own product. This year, we did 70 crore of our own product, and 20 crore is a mixture of all these things. So exact peer-to-peer comparison that we have to make bifurcate as well, of course. But from notebooks.
So is it fair to. Got it. So is it fair to understand that, is it fair understanding that year on year, our own volumes of own products have been almost similar, but the delta is driven mostly by the notebooks and the other textbooks of other companies that we sold?
Out of the 90 crore turnover, 20 crore came from the e-commerce model. Out of the 20 crore turnover, out of that, this is from the 50 schools. This 50 schools was never a part of the company's business before. So last year, our textbook business was 60 crore, and this year we made a 70 crore revenue from the textbook business. So it already grew there.
Got it.
The textbook business is also growing. And e-commerce, it's not always an existing client who's opting e-commerce. It is the new client who has not been an existing client because the existing client has already set up his own counter or a distributor network where he's supplying books. Wherever they find these challenges, these are the new schools we are approaching. We are taking them on board through this model. And in these new schools, prior to this particular model, we never had our textbooks also prescribed in the schools. So we're getting a textbook prescription also inside the schools.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Got it. And for our projections for next year, what would be the drivers of growth? I mean, where do we see the growth coming in from? 150 crore, if you can give us some.
We are estimating around 90 crores of turnover from the textbook business and 60 crores of turnover from the e-commerce vertical. That includes textbooks, stationery, notebooks, and also uniform. Because this year we have launched our uniform vertical. We did a pilot project with 3 schools. We understood what are the challenges and how can we overcome it. We formed a strategy on how to scale this business across the 50 schools where we already had tie-ups with e-commerce, where we have not introduced uniform yet, but yet we have taken the confirmations after doing the pilot project. So across these all 3 things, we are estimating around 60 crores of turnover. So overall, we are projecting 150 crores.
Got it, sir. And if we talk about a receivable cycle, if you look at Neat or any other place, their debtor days are about, I think, 150 days or in something of that range. Whereas if we look at our debtor days, they are about 300. So can you just help me understand what is the payment cycle and how does it work for our company? Is it that we provide better payment terms?
So how this industry works is, sir, from October, November, we get orders from CBSE schools. For December, January, all the ICSE schools place order. And from January to March, from April to June, we get orders from state board schools across different states. Even though schools place order early from October, the school reopens only on June 15th of every year. So what happens is, because we are supplying from October, November, December, January, February, March, we are only supplying the stock. Prior to the GST, all these products were supplied to them on delivery challans. And on June 1st or June 2nd, we used to raise invoices for all the 10,000 schools. At that point of time, from June to July, August and September, we used to recover 90% of our payments. So at that point of time, it used to look like 100 or 150 days or 90 days, we are getting our payment. Now, because we are doing early invoicing because of the GST issues and other things, even though if a bill is raised on October 1st, school is reopening on June 15th. So school will be able to make the payment for the invoice raised on October only from June 15th. Because most of the schools started June 15th and across many states in India. So because early invoicing, the number of days is looking longer, but actually that is not true. And here the financial cycle and academic cycle of business is different. So in the financial cycle, it is looking at 300 days or 200 days. But for us, our business only starts at June 15th because that's when the school reopens.
Got it. And
Mr. Singh, could you please return to the question queue?
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. Participants, it's a request. Please limit your questions to 2 questions per participant. We have the next question from the line of Maitri Shah from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible?
Yes, ma'am. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Good afternoon. A few questions. Firstly, on the e-commerce platform. So you mentioned that the new 50 schools that we've added, we were not supplying textbooks to them before. So the 20 crore sale that you did, what share of our textbooks did that contribute for the revenue?
So out of the 50 schools, ma'am, 20 schools had 100% utilization of our product, and 30 schools had 70% utilization of our product. And we also supplied notebooks and stationery. So if you keep notebooks and stationery to 30% of the 20 crores turnover and 70% of the turnover comes from the textbooks. Out of 70%, on average, 70% is our textbook business, okay. Which could change from for our company.
Okay, got it. And do we charge the schools for this e-commerce platform? Is there any subscription model on that or is this a free platform for the schools to enjoy the service?
So the only condition we have here is we'll do this particular e-commerce model of running it for the schools. We need minimum 50% of our company's products to be inside the school. And choice of notebooks and stationery also lies with our company.
Okay. And you said you're backward integrating into notebooks. So what sort of capacity are we adding here?
For the 50 schools, we purchase notebooks from companies like Classmate, Navneet and all, and we supply it to these schools. But now we have reached to manufacture notebooks, we need to reach a certain quantity of 20,000 or 30,000 pieces per like single rule or broad rule or mathematics rule. With this 50 schools, we reach that quantity. So then we purchase the whole machine so that instead of buying this from some trader for a lesser margin, if you manufacture, we are getting more margin. And company already has a space, own company owns space for it. So we're installing the machine in the capacity we have, and then we're manufacturing and supplying.
So what capacity are we installing?
So what has happened, these 50 schools luckily has introduced to one or two schools each overall. So now we are signing up around 100 schools, and our sales and marketing team will be getting another 50 schools. Next year we have 150 schools.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but what capacity for notebooks are we installing?
In terms of tonnage or in terms of number of books?
In terms of number of books or anything that you track as a metric.
So let's say a notebook will be doing around 10 tons capacity per day, out of which 80% capacity we already have procured orders.
Okay. And going forward, you said you were going to add uniforms as well to the mix. So you did 3 schools with the pilot project. How many new schools are you going to add for FY27 and then FY28?
So this coming year, in terms of uniform, we'll only be adding in the 50 schools where we have existing tie-ups with, not in the 100 new schools where we are bidding, because to manufacture, stitch and do from 3 schools on it is not possible, because we also have to build the infrastructure around it. So we will be taking up only the 50 schools where we have e-commerce model with. But without uniform, we will be doing business with 100 schools for textbook, notebooks and stationery. Because we've already understood how to do that business better and scale it up.
Correct. So these uniforms also will be manufactured in-house, or are we going to get them contract manufactured?
Only the cloth right now is purchased by us, but they are stitched in places like Maharashtra, Coimbatore, Tirupur and Mysore. So going forward for the 50 schools also, we'll be using that existing channel only. The moment we cross 250 odd schools, we'll get in the in-house stitching and tailoring facilities. Because it makes more sense to set up our own thing.
Correct. And the margins on these uniforms must be higher than the textbooks and the notebooks currently. So any sort of guidance you see the margins improving year on year, maybe 2-3 years down the line with more schools being added in for the uniform project?
Yes, ma'am. Like you said, it is compared to textbooks or stationery or notebooks, margins in the uniform business is a lot more higher. The more we scale up the uniform business, our EBITDA margins and profit margins also percentages will go higher. What we noticed is on the uniform margins are close to 50%. So when we scale it up and how much will that change in percentages, we need to calculate.
That's the gross margin or the EBITDA margin?
EBITDA is 50%.
EBITDA is 50%. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that is from my side. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ketan Karani from Ketan Karani Research. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the time you have given me and congratulations on a good result.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
In the news, you had mentioned that you will do 150 crore in 27.
Yes, sir.
Is it the base test? Is there a possibility you may exceed?
Sir, you are not audible. Can you please come again?
Like, will you 150 crore is something which you have all said that in Q3 also you said the conference call, and so you said Q3 is FY27 you will do 150 crore. So will you, this is a base case scenario. Will you be able to do it much more better than 150 crore? Is there any possibility for that?
Yes, sir, we are also hoping to do more than 150 crores. This is the minimum promise which we are making to the public. But looking at the things going, we are estimating more than 160 to 165 crores. But the fair bet is 150 is definitely will achieve, and we are already.
Thank you for that. Can you expand to FY20?
Sir, your voice.
You are getting in your. So can you expand it to FY28? Can you expand it to FY28 also? So will we be doing 250 crore in FY28?
We'll be doing more than 200 plus crores in FY28, sir. It will be around 200 to 250 somewhere in between, like 220, 230 crores definitely will be achieved.
Yeah.
So we will be adding lot more states also, because right now we are only in 15 states. And thanks to the post-IPO, we are utilizing those funds and creating team, sales and marketing team across the states where we don't have business, and also increasing market shares in the state we are having business. Right now our market share in all the 15 states is less than 2%. So now our target is to make, sir, hello?
Yeah, I agree with you. I understand, because let us say you are doing 90 and 150 is like, they are expanding by 60%. So is this the kind of 50-60% growth for next 3 years possible? That's what I want to understand.
Yes, sir. Next 3 years is possible because whatever right now, whatever we are manufacturing, we are all every year we are sold out. But the only thing is, we were lacking on funds to expand. Even before IPO or before this particular business, every year we were expanding to one state, looking at the revenues of the company or the profits we are making from the existing business. We were moving one state at a time. And we were happily growing there. But now our strategy changed. We want to do 4 states at a time. So, and this year we did 4 states at a time, and we captured close to 1% market share with the sales team. And now post IPO, now we're adding 4 more states into the company. And this year we are purchasing, you know, we are hiring more expensive sales and marketing team from our competitive people or somebody who is already experienced in the market. So we have that funds at liberty to grab business faster.
So in the next three years,
my target is to get into all the 28 states and 8 union territories of the country.
So that's congratulations for that. Means vision is important to implement the vision. My last question is, will we be able to maintain the 16.5-17% net profit margins once we are still expanding our from to, let's say, 160 crore and 240, 230, 225 crore. So margins, net margins will they get shrunk, or will we be able to maintain, or will we be able to expand? As my other caller, the previous caller said that once your uniform business stabilizes, the 50% margin is going to be there in that kind of business. So I just want to know what is the base case scenario and what is the optimistic case scenario for you.
Yes. So I'll tell you one main advantage here is before we even raise funds through IPO, we have used our own funds to build the whole CapEx in terms of production. A lot of publishers in India don't have their own printing utility. They print it with outside printers. So to scale up further, we set up our own printing industry. And right now, the capacity of our printing industry in terms of infrastructure or machinery, which can handle turnover up to 250 crores of turnover, sir.
Fine. Up to
250 crores, we don't have to buy even capex. And with our own warehouse, we have around 150,000 square feet of warehouse, which is company-owned, our own property. Yeah. So this particular space can handle up to 300 crores of turnover, sir.
So I understand that, and I think congratulations, I am done. Just last question, why is the inventory so high in FY26 last quarter, like 50 crore, 54 crore?
Yes, sir. The reason why inventory is very high is because now on March 31st, the inventory is showing. But now the same March 31st, 2026 inventory is getting sold in April, May, June 15th because schools reopen in June 15th. Our state board sales are kicking now. It will come in the next financial year, but actually business is from this academic year only.
Fine. So last question. Sorry, just last question.
Yes,
so our business is like 80% business is done in Q1 and Q4 and 20% is done in Q3 and Q2. That's right, if I'm wrong.
80% in Q4 and Q1.
Yeah.
And 20% in Q2 and Q3. These products are off academic, like, you know, like holiday homeworks, and worksheet for children. And yes, sir. That is true.
Okay, thank you for the time.
So what happened is, when we have our own production unit, we can use this machine to make additional products which we can sold in school after the academic cycle, which are worksheets and all. So in this Q2 and Q3, we created some products which can be sold in school so that we get additional revenue.
Fine. Last question, very important one. Just like Doms has done in remarkably market-wise and valuation-wise in stationery, are we looking at that kind of niche in stationery?
Sir, to scale up in stationery, you know, for example, to have your own geometry box, you need at least 50,000 pieces to manufacture your own geometry boxes or pens and pencils or stationery.
Yeah.
So right now, our quantity of stationery is around 8,000-9,000 with the 50 schools of e-commerce. The moment we cross 150 to 200 schools, we might reach to 25,000-26,000. The moment we hit 30,000 quantity of like pens, rubber, sharpener and all, we will also do the same thing what Doms is doing or Natraj is doing. They are getting a white label product from China, and with some of them are manufacturing 30% in-house and 70% is white labeled.
Yeah, that so is we'll imported from China.
Yes. So, 30% they are also manufacturing in Bangalore and other units.
Yeah, I know. They are manufacturing. But this is the kind of vision I want. My question is not about revenue or profit. My question is love vision. Is that visible and vision implementable? That's what I wanted to understand, because that will give immense positive boost to your revenue, profit and market price and market cap, everything.
Yes, sir. So my target is in the next 5 to 6 years, I should be able to do more than 500 crores of turnover with a mixture of all these products, textbooks, uniform, stationery, and notebook.
I think FY29 is something which I am also looking at, that kind of for our company. I use it our company because I am a shareholder, that's why.
Oh, thank you. If I achieve that at 29, no, then we'll keep a higher target going further. But I said four to four years for myself. But if I'm achieving it earlier with all your blessings, then I'll give you a bigger turnover figures as a target for the coming 30 or 31 and 32.
Fine. Thank you. Congratulations and all the best.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Jayesh from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity provided and good afternoon. And congratulations for the season 50. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. I can hear you. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. So, sir, my first question is regarding the margin. So can the management please explain the sharp improvement of EBITDA margins during FY26 especially, and also whether these levels are sustainable going forward, FY27, 28, and so on?
So there are multiple reasons, sir. One, raw material prices of paper has come down last year. And the reason why it came down is because usage of paper in India now is only maximum used only in the textbook sector, sir. Because tissue paper culture is very less in India, and magazines and other pamphlet business is now gone online into digital. But textbooks is still there. So consumption of paper is reducing. The moment when that happened, all the paper mills have reduced the price of paper to 40 to 50% lesser price. I'll give you a small scenario. During COVID in 2020, I purchased raw material at 120 rupees per kilo, which is paper, and 70% of the product in textbook is paper in our business. And last year, I purchased paper at 65 rupees per kilo. 4 years after COVID, the price has come down to 65 rupees. So that was one reason where prices have reduced. Second is the new education policy introduced in 2021-22. What has happened was, let's say I was doing 4 or 5 states of textbook business. For every state, I had to create a different textbook. So then what happened? Cost of creation of textbook for state by state was high. And quantity of production also was high because I used to print the lesser quantities because one particular state, depending on the population, I used to print that particular product. Now, after the new education policy was introduced, across India, government has made it mandatory to use same curriculum from Kashmir to Kanyakumari. So now, instead of creating multiple products for multiple states, now we are creating one product which can be sold across the country. And instead of manufacturing in less quantities, depending on the population of that state, now we are manufacturing that product in bulk because we can sell across India. So straight away for me, to expand from 3 states to 6 states or 7 states became very easy because the product is same now. And because I'm manufacturing the same product in bulk, my cost of production will also come down. And I'm only creating one product and selling across the country, cost of creation of the product also has come down. And in the printing industry, if you understand what I'm trying to say, every particular book, there's an aluminium plate which gets embossed into the machine. That plate is also very costly. It comes around for 8 pages, it goes around 400 to 500 rupees. Okay. Now, if I had to create multiple products, I had to buy multiple plates. Now, one plate is enough to make 15,000 products of the same product. So, my plate cost has also come down in raw materials. This was the second reason for reduction in, increasing in my EBITDA.
These are two reasons,
but there are multiple other reasons. One, we are giving free technology. The moment we started giving free technology to schools, instead of buying textbooks from publishers and technology from edtech companies, when the technology started coming for free, what has happened? Schools started adopting publishers' textbooks where they are providing free technology. Now, let's say I've set up the complete tech team inside my office and, let's assume that in a hypothetical figure, I spend like 3 to 4 crores on creating certain technology for schools to use. Now, if I'm selling my product in millions of copies, divided that with the 3 or 4 crores I spent, it's hardly coming to 3 to 4 rupees per textbook and server charges of another 3 to 4 rupees. So now, overall what I did, I just increased the textbook price by another 10 rupees. From 150 rupees, the textbook became 160 or 170, which covered the cost of the creation of the technology and also the server maintenance charges. So straight away, when this technology is coming for free, schools directly, if any edtech company is coming and trying to sell this technology, they are saying that this is already coming for free. So why should I buy it? So when that happened to schools, schools started calling us, we want your product because you are offering free technology. So that also, then the number of products selling, quantity of the product selling will also become higher.
So that also has been the reason behind this.
So there were multiple reasons, and I thought, maybe now my adoption of my product is growing. it is the right time for me to get an IPO so that I can scale this same model across the country and take advantage of the situation. I have done the same.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, that's very true actually. Yeah. And sir, apart from this, sir, can you please share some management insights or outlook with respect to the EBITDA margins and PAT growth for upcoming years, FY27 and so on, upcoming years as well, upcoming 3 to 4 years, you can say.
So our PAT margins will be around 16% to 17%. But here, for the coming 3 to 4 years, we don't have any capex investment except for the notebook machine, which we already purchased this year only. So going forward, we'll only be scaling up, setting up sales and marketing team across the states where we have business strong. We'll increase the percentage of business market share. And in the states where we are not present, we'll be setting up teams. In one way, that's how we'll scale the textbook business. At the same time, next year, we're planning to do around 150 schools in e-commerce model. And this will give us a lot of strength. Yeah, and also going forward from 150 to 200 or 250 schools, depending on the tie-ups we are able to crack with the schools, we'll be growing the e-commerce model. So this will be our growth going forward. So in that, keeping all that in mind, we're estimating around 16 to 17% PAT.
Okay. So that were some good and interesting numbers to hear actually. And apart from this, another question that will be, what has been the response from CBSE schools, especially towards the newly launched NCERT-aligned workbooks?
Yeah, so we did a pilot print of 10,000 copies each, and we sold around 40,000. Okay. So we had to reprint the product 4 times. And usually from the south, there were not many publishers who were making this particular product. So for the NCERT workbooks, all the south schools were also purchasing books from the North Indian publishers. It was usually taking a longer time for the transportation and all. When we bought this product, it was very easy for us to convert the market.
Okay. And sir, can management please discuss regarding the current skill and traction of the Pelican Edu platform?
I'm sorry, sir, your question is not audible. Can you please repeat the question?
Can the management please discuss regarding the current scale and traction of the Pelican Edu supply platform?
Traction.
TRSCION. Traction.
So right now, out of the turnover, 20 crores is what we could generate from the 50 schools. Going forward, maybe next year with 150 schools, we are estimating around 50 to 60 crores of turnover. Just from the 150 schools which we are trying to close.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And sir, what percentage of the orders are now being processed with the help of technology through the school-linked e-commerce ecosystem?
What percentage of
orders are now being processed? Orders are now being processed with the help of technology through the school-linked e-commerce ecosystem.
If I'm telling that I have generated 20 crores of revenue out of the 91 crores from technology, that is close to 20%, right?
Yeah, okay.
Around 20 to 23% of we are generating from the technology. And advantage of that is, we are not just selling textbooks, we are selling multiple other products, stationery and notebooks. So we are getting revenues from different sources from the same customer. So our logic was also that, what other things we can sell to the existing customer. So we don't have to look for a new customer. We are selling more products to the existing customer.
From the existing only. Okay.
Yeah. So instead of telling them, since you are using only my Max textbook, now take my English textbook. It takes a lot more effort. But if I tell them I have stationery and notebook, it is easier for me because textbook gets convinced on the content. But other products like notebooks and stationery, they go by quality. So when we were able to generate good business in content, getting business through quality was even more easier for us.
Okay. And sir, last couple more from my side, what will be the kind of investments that you will be requiring over the next 2 to 3 years to scale the technology and the logistics ecosystem?
So in terms of technology, our internal revenues are good. We have good accrual of internal revenues. We'll use our revenues to create our own technology. But to scale the business beyond 200 odd crores or 300 crores, maybe we'll have to buy some more machinery and some more investment in the raw material, which then like most likely once we reach that place, we'll realize whether we have to raise or internal revenue is good enough to sustain that. So we'll take the decision the moment we cross 200 crores turnover.
Okay. Okay, and sir, and the company has actually acquired the notebook manufacturing machinery for backward integration, correct? And so by when the in-house notebook manufacturing will become fully operational?
In the next 30 months.
The next 30 months. By 30 June, possibly?
Yeah, by 30 June. But since schools will start already, most of the schools will already purchase the notebooks. So this year, we purchased the machine now, but we've also purchased notebooks also from the market and supplied to our existing clients. From the next year, we'll no longer purchase textbooks from other vendors. We'll directly make our own product and sell it to schools. And the only reason what is our USP there, we are trying to stick to a better quality of notebook compared to the ones we are purchasing right now. So we'll stick to quality and we'll sell.
Okay. And last one from my side.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. Could you please return to the question queue? We have limited time left.
Yeah, sure, madam. Thank you so much. I will be back in the queue. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
The next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand with this e-commerce model, where do we see the working capital cycle improving? Because I would expect that we don't have to, we would get better understanding of the sales that will happen on a yearly basis. So how do we see the working capital cycle moving with this e-commerce adoption?
So I'll explain to you what happens with textbook traditionally. The moment I raise an invoice to the textbook, this textbook goes to the distributor's warehouse, and the distributor supplies these textbooks to the schools. Schools start making the payment of this particular textbook from June to the distributor who supplied, and the distributor in turn makes the payment to us. So usually, it's a longer cycle. And also, let's say if I have to supply to 10,000 schools, I also need  2 to 3 months of time just to pack and disperse this stock across various states. So the delay of packing and distribution and shifting from one warehouse to another warehouse or distributor, distributors then again procure materials from multiple publishers, creates a basket for that school, and then he's selling that to the parents. I mean to say the school. The schools are then pushing this to parents. Parents usually take 1 month time to purchase across the summer holidays. They come at their leisure and purchase the textbook and goes. So the delay of this process is that long, which is solved by e-commerce. Now, what has happened? The list is decided by the school. They share the list of textbooks, notebooks, and stationery they want in which class, what, where they want crayon box or where they want geometry box. We purchase all this material, keep it ready, and parents make the payment through our e-commerce portal. The moment the payment comes, then only the box gets shipped to them. So here, the credit time has automatically vanished. So we no longer have to supply to distributor, distributor to school, then school to parent, and then release the payments. Now, straight away, parent is making to the publisher, to me directly, to the e-commerce platform. So number of days, working capital cycle, in fact, payment is coming faster through the technology. And that's why we want to scale up this business because we get more and more payment earlier.
Right. And sir, also the inventory issue won't go away, right? Because we don't have to manufacture the inventory, then send it out to the distributor, then they will send it out to the school. So even the inventory cycle will reduce for this as we move to this. And sir, will margins improve because the middleman has gone away in this e-commerce platform model?
No, sir. Middleman, see, the problem with inventory is, let's say, June 15th is reopening of schools. CBSE schools place, let's say, June 15th of 2026 are the reopening for any school. But order for that particular year of a CBSE school is placed in October 2025. Because let's say the school is somewhere in Kolkata. So I need that transport the product to middleman, and that particular school must be using multiple publishers. All of them will take their own sweet time to deliver that product in that school. So stock has to be ready by September end or October first week. So closing stock is going to be like this. It will be high. And about middleman, see, in the traditional business, I am doing 10,000 schools of my textbook supply. Here in e-commerce, we are talking about 100 schools, 150 schools. So compared to 10,000 schools to 150 schools, middleman is never going to go out of business. In fact, he will also be adopting our technology in their schools to reduce their burden also. If each middleman is doing around 300 schools, he might also say, "Why don't you share your technology with us? We'll do 20 schools through this particular technology model." Then we'll sell that notebooks and stationery also. We will supply to the middleman also. So everybody in turn will be there in the business. And I cannot do 10,000 schools through technology because That's a huge, massive. It's easy to pack and send to the distributor, then supply each and every parent. So we will scale up to 500 schools or 1,000 schools, which is a very good number.
No, sir, I agree with you. But, sir, if I look at per school revenue from the 20 crore revenue, we get close to 40 crores per school based on the 20 crore and 50 schools in FY26. So for this 20 crores, I'm asking, will the margins be higher than the 16-17% PAT margin we do on an overall basis? Would it be closer to 25% PAT margin for this textbook sales via this model?
No, but out of the, let's say out of the 50 schools, we did around 25 crores of turnover. In the 25 crores turnover, stationery is also there, notebook is also there, textbook is also there. Out of these three products, textbook's margin is higher, stationery margin is lesser, and the price for stationery is also lesser. Now let's say a class 3 textbook product of all the subjects together comes up to 2000 rupees. But stationery for class 3 will come up to 300 rupees only. And about notebooks will come around 200 to 300 rupees. So textbook will obviously be higher.
I'm asking only about the textbook portion. I'm asking only about the textbook portion that we manufacture. Will the margins be higher?
Going forward, when the quantity increases, margin also will increase. Because now, right. Now we are only doing around 15 states. Now when we do at 28 states, so from 50,000 quantity of printing of one textbook, now we'll go to 75,000. So economies of scale, automatically the costing will come down and price will, profit will increase.
Right. So also we are operating at 75% utilization and we are doing close to 90 crore revenue. So how will we do 250 crore revenue on the same 15 metric per day capacity?
We'll add additional business, you know. We don't need to add additional infrastructure. But instead of setting, what happens is in printing industry, printing machine is not just the only machine. Binding equipment, lamination, pinning, gumming, perfect binding. There are 100 lots of other machineries. Now my printing machine itself is at the 75% capacity. But all other ancillary machines are not at 75% of capacity. They have higher capacity. So if I just put another 3 crores worth of a machine on the same existing line, it can push up to another 300, 200 crores, 200, 250 crores easily.
Okay, got
it. And this is also single shift, 75% of single shift, 8 hours. But machines can be run for 22 hours, so we can do 2 shifts also.
Sir, so Maharaj government has come out with a regulation that students can...
Close the call now.
Okay, madam, I'm already asking half the question, so just let me ask my remaining question.
Yes, sir. Please.
So, sir, now Maharaj government has said that students can buy textbooks and uniform from anywhere and the school cannot force them to buy from a specific source. Sir, so is that a threat to our business if this kind of regulation spreads to other states?
Sir, these statements school governments will make just before the reopening of schools every year. But again, what happens is that store which is managed by the school or the store outside the school, he is procuring items for this particular school. Like he must be buying math textbook from me, social from somebody, science from somebody else. So he keeping all that ready for this particular school is making a set, is making a basket of textbooks, notebooks, uniform and selling it just to make it is convenient for the parent. If the parent want to go to multiple stores and buy, they have to go to one store where that particular store fellow will not be having my textbook. Then it will take 5 days or 10 days for him to order. Then the parent has to come back to that store again just to buy my textbook. Or he has to cash the list of the school from the school saying that, okay, mathematics is so-and-so publishing company, science is so-and-so publishing company. Then he has to go to multiple stores to figure out which publishing company's book is there in which store. So to avoid all that, you know, parents will be spending more money by doing that. This is the only better solution what we are trying to provide to parents. So if Maharashtra government is telling you can buy everywhere, then yes, you can go and buy everywhere. There is no problem. Instead of one vendor buying my book, no, 10 vendors will come and buy from me. But can the parent go to 10 different vendors to purchase one class set for that particular school? It is, parents will spend more on petrol by doing it.
Sir, understood. And sir, any plans to pay dividend?
Yes, right now we are a growing company. Maybe we'll probably declare next year after once we reach a certain target which are there in our mind.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Channi from Equibridge X Advisors Private Limited for closing comments. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
On behalf of Dachipalli Publishers and Equibridge X Advisors, I thank everyone for taking time out to join today's conference call. If you have any queries, you can connect to us at info@equibridgex.com. Once again, thank you for joining the conference. Thank you, Harish sir. Thank you, Abhinav sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Equibridge X Advisors Private Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.